Blog Talk Radio.
Sisters, we thank you for tuning in to the PRF table. I'm your host, Minister Dunlap, and we're excited that you've taken a place at the table. This is a place where you have the freedom to listen to and participate in our open and honest conversations about possessions, resources, and finances. Good evening, Brother Feaster. Good evening, Sister Sanders. How y'all doing this evening?
I am doing fabulous.
I'm doing good.
All right, very good. Turn up your phone just a little bit, Brother Feaster. I appreciate it. We just want to tell everybody, you know, some people may be asking, you know, why is there a need for this type of conversation? Why are we talking about possessions, resources, and finances? And the answer that I would give y'all would be just look around at where you eat, where you play, where you work, where you sleep. You know, what are the challenges that you see all around you? What is it that you hear people talking about? What is it that people are fighting over? And what are they fighting about? So I know many of you will agree that having constructive, respectable, honest conversations about this particular topic is really needed in our communities. It's needed, in my opinion, in our churches and our religious organizations and also within our own families. And what we're looking to do with this particular show is looking to go from conversations, taking those conversations, moving it to dialogue, and then from dialogue, moving it to successful, practical applications that have a purpose. One thing that we always say here at the PRF table is that everyone has a seat at this table. And this is just not any old radio show, but we really look at this as a community where everyone has the opportunity to feed, to eat, and also to serve. So let us just begin our time together with a spirit of fellowship, unity, and liberation. How about that? Does that sound good, Brother Sanders? Sister Sanders, Brother Feaster?
Yes.
Sounds good to me.
All right, well, before we go into the show, let me just introduce these two resourceful guests that I have this evening. First, we have Sister Sanders. She's a two-time guest of the PRF table, just as Brother Feaster is. Sister Sanders is a major in the Army stationed at Fort Bragg. She's a mother, she's a wife, but most of all, she's a woman of God who truly has a heart for the people. So we want everybody just to welcome her. And Sister Sanders, as you've been on the show before, just let God use you in the way that he will have you to be used. Brother Feaster, how you doing today again? For those of you who don't know, if this is your first time, Reverend Warren Feaster, he has preached the gospel for the last 15 years. And I was asking him earlier before we came on live, you know, where have you been around? And he's told me he's been to Texas, Georgia, South Carolina, Illinois, Virginia, Tennessee, even over in Iraq and Korea preaching the gospel. I know Brother Feaster is a father, he's a husband, and he's also in the Army. He's been in the Army 20 years. Matter of fact, Brother Feaster and I, that's how we came to know each other back in 1991, serving in Iraq together. So, Sister Sanders, Brother Feaster, on behalf of myself and the listeners, we welcome you to the table this evening.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here again.
So this is what we're looking at this evening. It's really been on my heart, and I know we've been crossing in different directions over the last couple of weeks. But it's really been on my heart to start off this new year with some true and honest conversation about possessions, resources, and finances. In particular, tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to focus on the subject of blessings. And tonight is not about me as your host retelling other people's stories or testimonies about how they've been blessed, but it's actually for you, the listeners, to tell others how you have been blessed and to tell your story and talk about what God has done for you and what God has done through you. So as we get into the show, what we want everybody to do is to remember that all you have to do is press 1 on your dial pad if you want to join into the conversation. And we encourage everybody to do that because, again, it's not just about us as the guests, but it's about you who are the listeners that make this show what it is. And as a side note, I just want to tell Brother Feaster and Sister Sanders, thank you for accepting the invitation once again this evening. Listeners, before we started the show, Brother Feaster said he had went back and listened to the show, and he gave us some comments about what was going on and how everything sounded to us. But I can tell you, we had about 500-plus listeners that have listened to that show. So that is just remarkable for this being the third show of the PRF table. So thank you for what God has been doing with you and accepting the invitations again. Well, Brother Feaster, Sister Sanders, let's just go ahead and jump right into it. Over the last month, what I've been hearing a lot, as I've been in church and have been in different churches and seeing different things on TV, I've been hearing a lot about money. I've been hearing a lot about blessings. And, of course, we know the holiday season, the Christmas season, had a lot to do with certain things. So what we want to do, and this is where my heart has been led, is to really just talk about what blessings are, because I'm believing, and from what I'm hearing other people talk about, sometimes we have different understandings of what blessings are. So, Sister Sanders, let's just start off. Brother Feaster, let's just do like we always do, just start having a conversation around the table. What would you say, Sister Sanders, is your definition? How would you define what an actual blessing is in regards to possessions, resources, and finances?
I think a blessing is something that is given to another person. With conditions, I do think that blessings come with conditions, because it shows, I think you have to be able, one has to be able to show that they're responsible, that they're a good steward in their faithfulness. In addition to that, I think that with a blessing, it's an action. It's something, you know, it's something that is being given to another person or to a group of people or to an organization. And it shows favor. It shows that you have been given favor. And that's my definition of a blessing.
Okay. Brother Feaster, what do you say?
You know, when you proposed this question earlier, I really had to sit down and try to figure out what it was, because we use the word so loosely that I never really sat down to figure out exactly what is a blessing. I mean, we say we're blessing people, we say that we're being blessed, but me personally, I've been saying the word, using the word, and had really no knowledge of what I was talking about. And so I had to do my own homework, do some little study, and try to figure out, you know, what is a blessing. And one of the things that I came up with is a blessing is a reward. It's a gift. It's something that you've been given. And the thing that I really think that really separates a blessing from a gift is that a blessing is not burdensome. Most people think that just because they receive, for example, they go out and get a new car, let's say an Escalade. That's not a car, but an Escalade. And they'll call that a blessing. But what they don't pay attention to is the gas, is premium gas, the service packages, the miles per hour, and all the good stuff like that. So if that's a burdensome, then that Escalade is not a blessing. And that, I think that's what separates a blessing from a gift, because you can get a gift and it can be burdensome. It could be something you don't want. It could be something you hate, but it's something that somebody gave you. But a blessing is not going to cause you any burden. It's not going to cause you any pain. A blessing is going to be something that you're going to enjoy. It's a reward from what I've looked at. It's a reward. And that's what I got out. That's what I've understood today, what a blessing is.
Well, you know, one of the things that you said, we do use that word, or people use that word very loosely. And I just recall a lot of the text messages and emails that I received over the last day and a half. And one of them, a lot of them had something to the effect of this, you know, Merry Christmas and have a blessed new year, or have a blessed and prosperous new year. And I think also that sparked something in me. I'll be honest, I don't have a one-stop definition of what a blessing is, but I'm with you, Brother Feaster. I do believe that something that is a blessing is not going to be something that's burdensome to you. You mentioned on the last show, you talked about stewardship, and I think this is something that, from your comments about stewardship, is kind of catapulting us into where we are today, because the conversation should be had, and maybe we can just start going into it now, about something being a blessing or a curse. And this is what I thought about. If something is burdensome to you, when you first got that person first got that Escalade or whatever it is, a lot of people may have looked at that individual and said, oh, my goodness, Brother Fisa, he got an Escalade. God must have blessed him with that. Well, I think it's worth talking about that not only is that person looking at you and what you have, they may not realize what you're going through.
Right.
You may have overstepped your boundaries in getting it. We saw this during over the last couple of years with the adjustable rate mortgages. How many people bought houses and those of us on the outside looking in actually said, man, Brother Dunlap has this, and I don't, but Brother Dunlap has this 3,000 square foot house. Oh, my goodness, God must have blessed him. And then what if I got in church and said, look at what God has done for me. But what about 2 years down the road if Brother Dunlap is struggling to keep the lights on? Brother Dunlap is struggling to pay the mortgage. So what are we dealing with? Are we dealing with our stuff being blessings or curses? And how do we make a distinction between if it's a blessing or is it a curse?
I think it starts with what we're doing right now, knowledge. Because, I mean, I'm going to be selfish in this one. Because all these years, when me saying I'm blessed, I really didn't know what I was saying. So for me right now, the answer for me is knowledge. I had no idea of what it was until I got asked a question earlier today, and I had to sit down and figure out exactly what is a blessing. You know, and everything that we described in the Escalade and the houses and everything, you know, a lot of times we put value on things. Now, my value of Escalade is a lot lower than a lot of not an Escalade man, so it really is not that ambitious. It's a nice truck, but it's not high value for me. So that's the other thing. So what you say is blessed and what I say is blessed may be two totally different things. So I think it starts with education, getting an understanding.
I got you. Brother Sister Sanders?
I think when we look at blessings, I know Brother Fisher was talking about the Escalade, but I think a blessing's more than just, and I'm going to say this, I think that a lot of times we look at the tangible things as a blessing, but I think that is that the tangible things are an outward appearance of what we've done and what's been manifested once from the spiritual realm into the natural realm. But I think blessings go far beyond materialistic things, whether it's a car, a house, or children, because those are things that we can show. But I think a blessing is when I'm sick in my body and nobody can see what it is that's going on with me, or you can't see the pain, or you can't feel that pain that I'm going through, and I've gone to the doctors and they've given me this report, and then 6 months later I can come back and say that I have been healed, that the spot that was once on my lungs or where I was having blood clots, there are now no longer blood clots. I was not only healed, but God blessed me. And so I think that blessings far supersede the materialistic things. I think that those are blessings. But blessings for some people are just that they have life, that they have health, and that they have strength. A blessing to some people is that they may not have a 3,400-square-foot house, but the 1,200-square-foot house that they do have is a blessing to them because they know where it came from and they know what it took to get them there. I think a blessing is just being able to serve God freely, being able to know that when you pray, he hears your prayers and that he's answering them, because we can be praying for other people and see the manifestation of our prayers, and to me that's a blessing.
And one of the things that I'm hearing you saying is about the source of all of our possessions, the source of our resources, the source of our finances, the source of everything is God. And that's what we believe. That's what we believe as ministers, as men and women of God, that everything comes from God. So how do we deal with the question when we have sometimes people see other people being blessed, whether it's with a new car, whether it's a car was broken down and somebody decided to give them some money that they didn't know to get the car fixed or whatever the case may be, whatever that situation is, How do we look at that? And I think, Adia, this is going to something that you and I were talking about believers and non-believers and how blessings are viewed. And can those who are non-believers still receive the blessings? So what is it that you wanted to bring out about that point?
Well, when I was looking at, blessings, I have just found that there are times where, as Christians, I've seen people get so excited. They share a testimony, that God blessed them with a job, or God blessed them with a car, or whereas maybe their spouse, husband, their wife was not able to bear children, they're now able to, their wife is pregnant, and so that they were blessed. But I was just wondering, as I was looking at what a blessing was and looking at the question, can some of our possessions, resources, and finances be a blessing or a curse? The thought just dropped in my spirit on, can an unbeliever be a blessing to people? And I was just, it's just a question that I wanted to pose, not that I had an answer, but it was just something that I kind of thought about, because sometimes we think that the word blessing, we associate it, at least I can say for myself, I associate it with God. And when I think about God, I think about His goodness. I think about His love for me. I think about His grace and His mercy that He shows me every single day. So that's just one of the things that I look at with a blessing. So I was just kind of curious to know if people who are not saved, who don't know Christ as their Lord and Savior, if we think that they can be a blessing to other people.
Most definitely. Brother Fisa, if you want to jump in again, go ahead. But I definitely think that you don't have to be a believer to be a blessing to somebody. I remember when I was not a believer, I'd be hard-pressed to say that during my 30 years or 32 years, not walking with God, not walking with Christ, that I never blessed anybody. I can remember one of two soldiers that I had back when I was early in my military days, and I was able to share with him, hey, do X, Y, and Z. This is what it took me to get to this particular level. This is what helped me get promoted so fast. This is where you go to school. These are the military correspondence courses that you take. When I look at that, I know for a fact that I was being a blessing to that individual, even though I wasn't even living a life of Christ. And to know that individual, for those of y'all who are in the military, achieved the rank of sergeant major and asked me to pin him when he was at the Sergeant Major's Academy. Yes, I was a blessing even though I wasn't a believer. So I think it's a good point, because if we think that just because we're Christians, we're the only ones that can bless somebody, I think we're missing a point. What do you say, Brother Feaster?
I honed in on something you and her both said. And something, again, this is good. I'm taking some serious notes already. We're the source. So I was saying something different, but y'all added something to it. The source makes so both of y'all are saying that a blessing is tied spiritually. So the source being God. So that answers your question, Sister Sanders. Can an unbeliever be blessed or be a blessing? Well, the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. So the answer is yes. The answer is yes. If God is the source of the blessing, and we know that God owns all things, then the answer is yes. But that right there turned something different for me when y'all started talking about the source and the blessing being spiritual, because that took a blessing totally out of the realm of a gift, totally out of the realm of a reward, totally out of the realm of everything I was thinking, because we understand that if a blessing is from God, then there is no reason for a blessing. God blesses people as He sees.
Mm-hmm.
God gives people as He gives. God does what He does as He does. So if a blessing is spiritual, then I think that there really is no answer to that question. Because then we'd have to understand why God given a blessing. I don't know. Sure. I think I might have confused my own self.
Well, one of the things that you said was God blesses as he pleases. So really we can't make a determination in every situation that God is blessing me over blessing you. I know for a fact there's individuals that have stuff and that have gained stuff, and God didn't have anything to do with it except for allowing it to be. If this individual decided that he or she wanted a certain possession or a certain something dealing with finances, like this individual is just going to apply for a loan, knowing good well that he or she may not have had the resources or the means to pay that loan back. You know, God will allow us to do things if we keep on pressing the envelope, if we don't go to him and say, give me direction in this particular area. I'm going to put a pause in it right there because I said that this, at the end, early beginning of the show, that this show is about the listeners and what has God done for us and for them. So we have a caller that's been waiting on the line patiently with the last four of 7820. Did you have a question or a comment?
Yes. First of all, this show is wonderful, so thank you. And I'd like to encourage you to keep doing what you're doing. In the subject of being a blessing, the man of God was right. The Bible does say that he reigns on the just as well as the unjust. And I think it's important as believers and as Christians, sometimes we can be so, what we call so holy and righteous in our own mind and our own way of thinking, where when others want to bless us, we tend not to accept because they may be non-believers. And I had a situation where I was really, really sick one day. I was really sick a couple years ago, and the people who I thought, among me would be the one to come see about me were actually not. It was my coworkers and other people who would not be a non-believer, you would say, and they were the one bringing me soup and crackers and juice and seeing about me during that time of illness. And that was an eye-opener for me, and I was like, wow, because sometimes if we closed up, God has so many different avenues of blessing you, and he uses who he want to use. He can use a babe. He can use anybody to bless you. And God has so many different avenues. So even as believers, we have to be open because God is greater, and we have to be open. And I just wanted to, as we're talking about blessings, I just wanted to point that out.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Carla. We appreciate you. Thank you for blessing us with your presence and sharing that with the listeners. Have a good day, okay?
You too.
Brother Feaster, one of the things that this young lady just said was about us as Christians being judgmental. That's what I'm taking, being judgmental and not realizing that God has placed more than just Christians on this earth. And everybody who knows me knows that unity is a very big key component to my ministry and how God uses me. So we have to be able to accept the diversity that God has placed on this earth, know that there is more than just Christians that are walking on this earth. And I think we all could be in agreement or are in agreement that God will bless anybody who he chooses to bless. But let's talk about what is a blessing versus a curse. And we kind of alluded to it. But there's a lot of people that have certain things. They're in certain positions on their job, and they think that it's a blessing. A lot of people have certain stuff. We just went through the Christmas holiday, and a whole bunch of people have spent a whole lot of money for a whole lot of stuff for a whole lot of people. With a lot of times money that they don't have. So when I think about, okay, is it a blessing? The person who's receiving it may think that it was a blessing, but the person who gave it, if they didn't have the right finances, if they're putting it on credit knowing that they are not able to pay for it, is it an actual blessing? So how do we help people see, Sister Sanders, Brother Feaster, what it is with this thing about, is it a blessing or is it a curse? Or have you been in that situation where you've had certain things that other people may have thought were a blessing from God, but you really deep down in your heart knew? And I put this out to everybody else, if anybody else that's listening want to have any comments as well.
Nate, you know, you said something that was just, that was so key. And I'm trying to figure out how the words to say it, but what you said was that if I had to go into debt to give somebody something, to me, I see that as the curse. But to that other person that I gave, I see that they were blessed. Now, unless what I gave them is going to be repossessed or be taken from that person, whereas I was cursed, if we want to even use that word, because I'm getting ready to go into debt because I gave somebody something, I think that that's where I see the difference. And I really don't know how to put it in words. But that's kind of where I'm going, is that if I have to go into debt, or if I pull money or resources from somewhere else where I should not do it in order to bless somebody else, I guess the question would come back is, if my heart is in the right place to be a blessing to them, are they still blessed even though I'm cursed? And I would probably say, to me, it sounds like it could be that, but I really don't know for sure.
Okay.
Because my heart is in the right place. It's just the means that I went about to be a blessing to somebody is going to put me in a bind. And so because of my lack of discipline, my lack of planning, my lack of prioritizing and putting my affairs in order and being a good steward over what I have, is going to put me in a position to where what I'm trying to give or what I've given to be a blessing, it is just that. But I'm going to have to suffer the consequences for my actions because I didn't plan accordingly. And we see plenty of examples in the Bible to where somebody had the right intention and the people were blessed. And the Bible does speak about, you know, that people will be healed, delivered, saved, set free. But those leaders in those positions of authority and those positions in those leadership positions, because of their lifestyle, they're going to suffer the consequences for their actions because some of them are not living. They're living contrary to the word of God, but people will still be healed. People will still receive God's blessings in their favor because of the man or woman of God. But that man or woman of God is going to suffer the consequences for their actions.
Brother Feaster, I hear you buzzing out of the scene. Go ahead, brother.
I'm sitting here listening to what she's saying, and I just started writing stuff down, and it's interesting because now that we begin to define that a blessing is spiritual, and that a blessing comes from God, and if it's coming from God, then it won't be burdensome. Now we're looking at then there's two parts of a blessing. You have the giver and the receiver, so it can't be a blessing if both people are not blessed. It can't be. Because if it's going to burden me to bless you, then I'm not being blessed. If it's not going to burden me but burden you, then you're not being blessed. So there's the two parts of it. And I was also thinking about intent versus impact. You know, out of everything out there, you know, you have streetwalking, you have murder, you have suicide. There's laws against everything except love. You can never overlove somebody. You can lie, steal, and cheat, and there's laws against that, but you can never overlove somebody. So when we talk about intent versus impact, we're talking about being a blessing or being a curse. If my intent is love, then my impact will always be love. Now, you on the receiving end may not see that, and that's you not understanding what love is. But even in that, if you don't understand what love is and I'm coming in love, then even my gift, the impact will still be love because I understand what you're looking for and I'm going to give you. So a blessing is going to be always on the positive side, a curse. Now, this is where it's going to get kind of confusing or controversial or whatever, but a curse may not always be a bad thing. It just may be out of time. It just may be, you know, out of reach. It may be too early. It may be too late. It may be a timing thing. And it could be something totally bad. We always equate bad things to being bad when sometimes bad things are not bad as we foresee them, but they're actually good, you know?
Right.
So
go ahead, bro.
And that's what I was looking at when we talk about the blessing. It seems like there's two parts to it, the giver and the receiver. So for me to bless somebody and for me to be a blessing, then the blessing must be on both ends, the giver and the receiver.
Good point. We just want to hear everybody else's comments. You know, we try to tell people that that's why we come and sit at the PRF table, because not one person has all the knowledge. Only person that has all knowledge is God, and God is not sitting down here next to you and I in the physical flesh. So, you know, one thing I was thinking about, I've spent a lot of years teaching personal financial management. I've taught a lot of individuals, had a lot of students. I've taught a lot of students in the area of personal law, so we dealt with debt and credit and all those type of things. And then I come into the church, and then I see how people in the church are struggling. I see how people in the church get things and still cry out to God for God to bless them. I can recall knowing an individual who purchased a home, and this was several years ago. And this is tying into blessings and curses. I remember this individual purchasing a home, and the home was beautiful, and everybody around this individual just saw how God, quote-unquote, blessed them. In that, it didn't take too long for that individual to start going through changes in regards to that house. And because of relationship with that individual, and it took a while for this to come out. Remember, you know, when people are dealing with financial issues, there's a spirit of pride that is often there that has to be overcome. There's also humility that has to take place. So this individual humbled themselves to me, and one of the things that they communicated was that they, in the process of purchasing this home, and we're talking about a man of God, we're talking about a minister, in purchasing this home, what they communicated was so many things kept going wrong with the process. So what the person said was, they just said to God, God, if they call and ask me for one more thing, I know that this is you telling me no. And guess what happened? They called and asked this man of God for another thing, another piece of paper. Well, guess what this person did? They gave the piece of paper up. They ignored what they said, what they went to God with, and they was able to get the house. But it took this individual into a financial spiral that a lot of people don't know about. And the issue with that is I see that as nothing but it was a curse, because they were already in connection with God. God already gave them the sign. But everybody on the outside was just happy for the housewarming party. They were happy to see this person going from an apartment or whatever they were living at before to this nice, big, old, beautiful home. And guess what? We know that when we're dealing with debt and credit in our society, it's easy to go ahead and get messed up with credit, but it takes a whole lot longer for it to come out. So that process of it being a curse was something that was prolonged for several years. And I won't share everything. I won't prolong the time with everything that went on in that individual's. But guess who else got affected? The people around him, that person's family. And the ones who were closest to him knew what was going on. So, you know, when I see these type of things, to me it says, you know what, we have to talk about these things. We have to try to encourage individuals to not be prideful. But it goes back to what we were talking about on the last two shows. We have to, and I think Brother Feaster, you and Sister Sandra both brought this out, we have to create an atmosphere where individuals, if they get into this type of trouble, if they make these type of mistakes, if they fail to listen to God, that they're able to come to a brother or sister, as we were talking about in 2 Kings chapter 4 previously, and be able to say, hey, I messed up. And then that's where I think resources come into effect. You know what? Okay, let me get you to somebody that can help you with this situation. not just clean up your credit and erase your debt, which more than likely oftentimes is illegal when it happens, but let me help you through the process of this, because it may not be an overnight process of getting out of this particular financial trouble. I've met a lot of people in those type of situations, and my heart goes out to them. But for me, one of the things that I think about, y'all, is, okay, where is the church in all of this? If we don't have the atmosphere in church, then they're going to do just like that pastor said on the last show. They're going to other places to get help. So I think this is a good topic that we're talking about, and I'm thankful for the topics that y'all are actually bringing out, because you know me, everybody knows me. This is not discussions that I have. It's not everything that comes to my mind. It's what God is sending through all of us. So, Brother Feaster, did you have anything else, or Sister Sandra, anything else on that before we move on?
I did want to add one thing. Two things. One of the things I had written down in my notes earlier was that, and I think it ties into what you were, just the story that you were telling about this gentleman, was that sometimes I think when we look at blessings, and I can say this from my own experience, is that when things don't work out in our favor or the way we want them to in our head, we think that God is not a blessing. And one of the things that I wrote down is that blessings can come in denial. When things aren't working out, I think that I know that when our prayer lives, when we are praying and we are seeking God and we are studying the word of God, and then we are asking God for things in our prayer time, that when it comes time for us to ask for something and we don't get a response, or the Holy Spirit says to us no, or we get disapproved for something, or the answer is no, or that door is closed, I think that that can be a blessing. And I say that because when I was looking in my Bible concordance, it was saying that a blessing is an act of declaring or wishing favor and goodness upon others. And when Brother Feaster talked about the source of a blessing being from God, is that if the answer is no, or it is, or something is denied to us, I think that it's important for us as believers and non-believers to look at that as being a blessing, because it could put us in financial ruin. It could put us in a bad relationship. It could put us living outside of our means. It could mean that we lose everything that we have. And sometimes we have to know that no could be a blessing from God always, it's because God is not going to give us everything that we ask for. That's the only thing, other thing that I wanted to add to that as well.
You know, I'm going to have to make sure that I wrote something down, and what I wrote down from what you were saying was, it's also a blessing in God not providing. And can you imagine,
yes,
if this is something that we were able to, or those of us who have the platform, to speak about in church to our fellow brothers and sisters that we know are going through things. And it's not about condemning anybody. It's just saying, look, sometimes, you know, these things that people are talking about, you know, we want God to give you just more prosperity this year. Well, you know what? Let's take a step back and let's evaluate what we did with what God blessed us with last year.
Exactly.
It's not always about just getting more, more, and more. Sometimes it's about just doing the best with what you actually have. Sometimes it's about being content with what you have. I can recall prior to getting a very good job several years ago when I went overseas for a short spell, and I made a lot of money, and I tell anybody, this is just one of several testimonies, there's no way that God could have provided that resource, that particular job that I was able to do for that short time, and put that type of money in my hand 5 years prior. Because I know I would have made a mess of it. God knows he would have made a mess of it. I would have made a mess of it. And then where would the blessing have come from there? Where would the glory have been to God if I would have just messed over all of that money. We have a caller that's been waiting on the line. We'll come back, and Brother Fisa, if you have something as well. Caller with the last four of 0097, did you have a question or comment?
Yes. Hi. I've enjoyed the show. I have a lot to say, so I'm going to be real, real brief. I know, I do want to thank you for the forum to express ourselves. On the subject of blessings, a lot of times in the midst of blessing others, there is loss. Personally, I experienced the loss of my sister this year, and it allowed, at the time, I was really, really hurt, but through her loss, able to donate certain organs that created life, sustained life for others. It helped create a better life for others too. At the time, it was just natural for me to just give these organs or to give these things to other people who needed them, because I felt that in my sister's death, I was still able to allow other people to be blessed by her death. So God does use, and I'm not sure whoever received her organs or whatever, whether they were believers or non-believers, but I do know that it was a blessing. It helped me to overcome some of the hurt through the loss of my sister. So I wanted to share that with you all. And another instance I wanted to share was a lot of times we who have these testimonies or these blessings, we tend to keep them to ourselves, which I don't think is really fair. I think we are obligated to share those because there are a lot of people who are struggling with their faith. They hear people talk about the big blessings, the houses, the cars, and all that kind of stuff. And one guy came to me, and we were talking, and he told me, he says, I know God woke me up this morning, and that was a blessing. He says, but I hear these people talking about these big old blessings. I want God to bless me like that. Well, at the time he was talking to me, he didn't realize that God had blessed him with certain things that he just had not looked. He was looking for the big blessings, and he just overlooked the little things that were there at that particular time. He had a landlord that had extended grace to him. He didn't have to be put out. He wasn't put out. The landlord allowed him to stay in the house without paying the rent. And he didn't see God in that because he was blinded by wanting to see the big thing. So I think those of us who have these, what may seem like little blessings to you, we need to, it's our responsibility to share it, to say it out loud, because there are some believers out there whose faith is being tested or being tried, and they need inspiration to move on. That's all I had this time.
Ooh, thank you, my sister. Brother Feast and Sister Sanders, did y'all have any response to that? The caller that just gave us so much to talk about, we can probably take just what she said and run through the rest of the show.
She hit on something that, we're just taking this blessing and just pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. And before long, we're going to end up getting to the bottom of this thing. She took blessings to a whole new area. So we started off talking about blessings being a gift, but she took it well past that. It's not just a gift. The satisfaction that she got from donating organs, that was a blessing. You know, I was writing down when we started talking about, she said there could be a blessing in loss and losing. And I wrote down a lot of times, and even thinking about the testimony of the man with the house, a lot of times when we have all these obstacles in our way, we as Christian folk, we as, you know, Bible believers, and God is the God of everything, we're quick to say there's a blessing in the present instead of saying, okay, Lord, are you trying to tell me to stop? So, I mean, this blessing thing is a lot bigger than what we've even thought about. It's past gifts. It's past gain. It's in loss. It's in gain. It's in gifts. It's in health. It's in finances. It's in poverty. And that's what I got out on that. I can't even get it all out how I'm thinking it.
Well, take a breath. We'll come back to you. Sister Sanders, did you have anything?
I do. I like what the Chronicles said about blessings can come with a loss or from a loss. And when I was looking back at how the definition of blessing was defined, it's like the light bulb just kind of came on to where it was like, it, when we bless others, where we may be in our life is not dependent upon where that what we're doing for that other person. And two examples that came to me from the Bible was the woman who had the mite. That was all she had. But Jesus made it clear that her giving that mite, her last, that she was blessed way more than those that had riches. She had literally, that was it for her. But he said that she was more blessed than those who had more to give because of where she gave from. It was from her heart. And because she chose to give from her heart with the little that she had, that was greater than anything that any amount of money that those who were there in that room or at the temple that they had. And the other thing that was, I'm so excited. The other thing was, in our loss, was that God gave his son for us. And when we talk about loss, I don't know of anything greater, a greater blessing, than for God to give his son for us. To know that we just celebrated Christmas, the birth of Christ. But
right,
next year, or this year, we'll be celebrating his death. And had he not been born and died, we could not have been reconciled back to God. To me, that is a blessing. And all of it, because God had to sacrifice. He had to send his only son. And I don't know how many parents would be willing to give up their only child to save the world. So even though somebody may go in debt, which I don't encourage that, because the word does tell us to be the lenders and not the borrower. But I just look at it just going beyond the person's heart. Where is the person's heart? Is their heart to really to be a blessing to someone else, or is it out of selfish ambition? Because if it truly is out of selfish ambition so that we can have the conversation and say, look what I did for so-and-so, but in your secret time, you crying on the inside because you know you're going to be in debt over that thing, then you can do anybody a world of good because our heart wasn't in the right place. But we know that when God gave his only son, that was the greatest act of love that he could have given us. And I'm so glad, you know, that the caller said that sometimes our blessings could be in the law. Because that's hard. That's hard to know that in losing a family member. Some people, I've heard testimonies where a gentleman said that he had all of these riches and from being a real estate agent, being a realtor, and he had gained all of these millions of dollars. But because he wasn't a good steward over it, he lost it all. And the most heart-wrenching thing was that when he had to sell every possession, and most of them got repossessed, he had to start over. But when he started over, his heart was in the right place. He wanted to please God because before, his heart was to showboat. His heart was to brag about the new boats and the cars and the trips and all of the gifts that he was able to give his family, but his intentions weren't right. And so that's just pretty much what I wanted to say, Nate. I just want to turn it back over to you.
All right. Well, we have one more caller. Of course, I have a couple of comments, but we had a caller that's been patiently waiting. Caller, I'm going to bring you on with the last four of 3032. Go ahead, you're on here.
Yes, I have a question. With blessings, when is it? Okay, when earlier it was talking about sharing your blessings. And I recently had something that happened in my family where a person was blessed, and they were blessed with something that they had been praying for and asking God to do for them. And they started, I guess what she was saying earlier about sharing the blessing, but within 1 week of that blessing, it was reversed. And it was sort of like a ripple effect in my family, because, you know, everybody was so excited about this blessing and, you know, it was going to be a good thing. But I guess my question is, when is it a good time to share what God has done for you, and without, you know, so-called boasting or bragging about it? Because my thing was, I felt like because of all the, sometimes God would do something, bless you, but that blessing is meant just for you at that particular time, and by this person just sharing it with so-called people that's not really for them, you know, that could cause a negative effect because people start talking, and then it's just like a ripple effect, and, you know, everybody is not for you. So with saying that, the blessing was reversed, and the person lost the blessing, and it just causes an effect. So I guess my question is, what do you do or what do you say to that person when that happens?
Well, if I can ask a question, what is it that you mean when you say that the blessing was reversed?
The person was blessed with another job, a good paying job, and then that with that person's particular situation or background, in other words, wouldn't be able to get that particular job, but God blessed him to get it, and we knew that it had to be God because of the circumstances that this person was in.
Okay. So when you say it turned around or it backfired, I just want to make sure I'm understanding. Was it that people put some things in place or started talking to the employer or other people that caused them to bring up the background or to not want to have that individual in that position anymore?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing that I was saying, Brother Priest, Sister Standards, you can join in at any time. You know, if it was a blessing, it was a blessing. If God did that for that individual, he did that for that individual. But God also gives every last one of us free will.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reality. God gives us as individuals free will. So if somebody else did something against the blessing that God had provided to who God wanted to provide it to, I say woe to that individual or woe to those individuals. But what can you say to that individual? You can help that individual to be encouraged and pray that God will provide another blessing, although somebody else has done something to, in my words, mess up what God has blessed that individual with. God works in mysterious ways, and you never know. That may be something that is a test of that person's faith and maybe a test of your faith as somebody who is close to that individual, to try to get closer to God, to try to hear more from God so God can direct that individual of where to apply next. And also keeping in mind what it was, there's some wisdom that comes from that situation. Maybe that individual doesn't need to communicate like you're saying, like I think I'm hearing you say, to so many individuals about X, Y, and Z. Sometimes things have to be kept to themselves until you can know and discern who is with you versus who is against you. Sister Sanders, Brother Feaster, did y'all have anything for the caller?
While she was talking, I got to thinking about two things. One is stewardship. When God gives us anything, and when we receive anything, it is our responsibility to be good stewards over that. So now the question is, can we misuse a blessing? Can it still be a blessing, but we treat it so badly that it ended up as a curse because we were not good stewards over it. We did not manage it well. We did not take care of it well. You know, and that's what I got to think about. The other thing I was thinking about was Joseph in the Bible in Genesis. I'm a firm believer that, it happened the way God wanted it to happen. But I'm a firm believer that if Joseph had not have told his brothers that he had a dream that he would rule, or him being the youngest son would rule over his family, which was almost like blasphemy to them in that time, then I believe that they wouldn't have sold. If he had got the dream and kept it to himself, I believe the story would be totally different. It would be totally different. So him coming out and saying all that caused that ripple effect that we read in the Bible to get to the end state where Joseph said in the last book of Genesis where you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So this young man got the job, and now problems have come. Well, one of the things that I wrote in my notes earlier, that blessings last over time. We still have not seen the end state to that situation, and that's still not to say that it's not a blessing. Right now it looks like it is not a blessing, but a blessing will last over time. A lot of times we look at the momentary thing, just the instantaneous, the right now. But we got to sit back. And watch this thing grow. We got to watch this thing manifest. We got to watch this thing birth to realize when we get a baby, when we have a child, that baby is born. We don't know what that child is going to do when they're 17, 18, 20. Even if we raise them and teach them right, we still don't know what they're going to do. So it happens. Some things we have to see over time. So we praise them for the blessing in the moment, but that's not to say that the blessing is over, because there's a steward. And I got, as she was talking, I got to really thinking about the stewardship part of the blessing. We look at these. I like looking at game shows, and one thing that I found out years ago, when they receive those gifts, they have to pay those taxes on those gifts, or they can't take those gifts. Well, that's part of the it's a contract deal. I received the new car, but I got to pay the taxes on the car. I got the new vacation. Well, I got to pay the taxes on the vacation. And even if I can't afford to pay the taxes, then now I have a car that I have to manage. I have a vacation that I have to manage. I have whatever the gift was that I have to match. So there's the longevity part of the blessing also. And that's what I was hearing out of what she was saying.
Sister Sanders?
I don't have any comments right now, Brother Nate.
Okay. And what I was hearing, just to make sure that I'm hearing everybody clearly, it wasn't that the individual did anything on the job. It was somebody, let's just put it in clear vernacular, somebody threw a monkey wrench on this individual because of a situation, because of something going on in the individual or something that happened in this individual's past. Somebody decided to be ugly. Somebody decided to go in and sabotage this man's position after this individual was blessed with this position, because he was not able to get this job from normal circumstances. It sounded like God intervened because of whatever the situation was with this individual, and made a way for this individual to be hired in this position. And then somebody decided to throw a monkey wrench in the situation. And that's what I was meaning when I was talking about God gives us free will. I wasn't saying it was free will for the individual who lost the job. But the individuals who decide, you know, when individuals decide to do nasty things and undercutting things, God is not pleased with that. So God will deal with that individual or those individuals who had any part of this individual losing their job, because that's not God. God doesn't operate like that. If God didn't want them to have the job, then God would have not have provided a way for this individual to have a job. And then that's my thoughts with that. Well, we are winding down, ladies and gentlemen. There was a lady who had posed a question before the show, and it wasn't necessarily a question. She just threw the comment out. She said, what about when we hear a lot of times prayers go up and blessings come down, or when praises go up, blessings come down? And I just wanted to hear your thoughts about that, because that's something that it's a cliche that I know has been used in church for a very long time. And individuals, especially in the church, sometimes, in my opinion, think that if they just pray to God, that God is just going to give them what they ask for. We do know that there is scripture in the Bible that Jesus said, "Ask, you ask for anything in my name, it shall be given to you. Or ask and it shall be given to you, seeking you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." And there's a lot of individuals that's in the church that are quoting this scripture thinking that as long as I just praise God, he's going to shower down these blessings. And again, we're talking about possessions, resources, and finances. And it goes through what the two previous callers said. You know, this individual could not see what the true blessings was. This individual could have been gone, but the landlord was gracious enough to allow that individual to stay. That affected other finances. That was a resource being actually used in play in that situation. So Sister Sanders, you know, what do you say about that old church cliche of as prayers go up or praises go up, blessings come down? How would you communicate or say to people who have that type of mindset, think that it just works if they just do that?
When I kind of laughed, and because you are absolutely correct. That is a cliche that I heard growing up in church, and people would get so excited. And I know a couple of shows ago we talked about the whole emotional part, that we can say something and it not have any scriptural base, but we believe those things. And so people can hold on and believe something and then get upset with God because they're saying, "Well, God, I'm praising you and I'm not getting my blessing," but they're not living right. And I'm not saying, you know, that what God does for us is based on what we do for him. But what I am saying is that Romans 12:1 says to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. So there are some things. I do really believe that we have a life to live that is pleasing before God. And when I look at about the praises going up, I was looking at what that really meant. You know, like, okay, well, I'm just praising God in church, but I don't praise him in my home. I don't praise him in my everyday actions or my job. But I'm expecting God to bless me. I'm expecting these blessings to come down. But I think it requires both our prayer, which is our communication with God. And we know that there are many forms of prayer. We got prayers of supplication, prayers of petition, prayers of thanksgiving. But when I was looking at the different prayers, I was looking at the prayers of petitions, when we're sending something up, making our requests made known unto God. And I think that it requires us to pray to God because we do have to ask. And then we also have to praise. And when I was looking at praise, I was looking at a praise of thanksgiving, praising and believing that what I've asked God for, that he's going to do it. But I also think that outside of prayer and praise, that we have to be obedient. The Word of God tells us that we can't just be hearers of the Word. So if I hear that if I ask God for anything, he will give it to me, but I'm not doing what his Word is telling me that I need to do, I'm not applying the Word of God to my life, I think that for some people it could be difficult for them to understand why they're not receiving the blessing of God, because it could very well be that they're not being a doer of his word. And so just because you ask for something, if you had aught in your heart against your brother or sister, if we ourselves don't have a prayer life on a consistent basis, if we're not studying our word, it is very easy for us to want to get caught up in cliches and not understand that God is requiring something of us, not in the form of what we look at in the natural sense. Like if you go to your job, you're going to get a paycheck because you put in 40 hours or 80 hours every 2 weeks. But in the mere fact, and our brother Feaster said it again, in our stewardship, and taking care of what we have right now and being faithful in what God has given us and also being a believer that in his word that he's going to do what he said he's going to do, that he is going to supply every need according to his riches and glory. But I really do, just going back to what you said, I do believe that it takes our prayer and our praise, but it also takes our faithfulness to God and our obedience and our consistency and our discipline to him as well in order to receive those blessings from him.
And let me just give this in response to what you said and the sister who came on the line a few minutes ago. Hebrews 11, verse 1 through 6, it just seems to be so fitting, and I'm so thankful for how God just places individuals in our path, and I'm talking about for this show. A brother gave us this scripture earlier, which this is the right time to bring it out. He gave us Hebrews 11, verse 1 through 6. He said, those who having faith are moved to obedience because they are confident of the blessings that obedience brings. They know that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So I've heard the word obedience mentioned several times, and when we're talking about blessings, it's not about God being a genie in a bottle. It's not God being a like a slot machine. You can just pull the lever down, pump a quarter in, pull the lever down, and think that, you know, we're going to hit the jackpot. All those things that you said, Sister Sanders, are relative. And as believers, you know, those of us who are believers, you know, we have to do our part. And obedience is a very key factor. We can't live in a constant state of disobedience. Just as what I was talking about, the brother who had the house, you know, that was a state of disobedience. And we see what problems it actually caused. Brother Feaster, did you have anything else?
You kind of alluded on to one of the things that I was going to say. A lot of times we call him God, but what we're really doing is calling ourselves God. Mm. God is not a cosmic Santa Claus that every time I pray that I'm going to get everything I pray for. The scripture says that if I pray in his name, it goes back to, as soon as you started reading, I started thinking about the old, y'all remember the old thing back there, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And everybody was running around wearing these bracelets. And,
right.
And what would Jesus do was on the mindset. But the question is, who knew Jesus enough to understand what would Jesus do in that situation? So when we say, you know, praises go up and blessings come down, that go back to what we initially started with, because me personally, again, I'm talking about myself. Me personally, I didn't even know what a blessing was. I wrote down so much stuff on what a blessing is. So what I'm understanding now is praises go up, blessings do come down. The question is, how do they come down? Where do they come down?
There you go.
You know, there's health. And like the one testimony, he was looking for a big blessing. Well, I'm not getting kicked out of my house and not having to pay my rent. That's a big blessing. That's a big blessing. That, for me, that's a big blessing. But we categorize, we rating, you know, we're looking for the Lamborghini. But I don't have Lamborghini in faith, so why is God going to bless me with a Lamborghini? You look at all of those people in what we call the Hall of Faith, which you were just reading in Hebrews chapter 11, look at where they were when they got that, when they received that blessing. I mean, God called Abraham, and God called Abraham the father of the faith, but he went through to earn that name. God didn't call Abraham when he first called Abraham and then tell him to sacrifice his son. Well, he didn't even have a son. Everything is done decent and order. Everything is done timely. Everything is done in a certain order. So we really have to look at all of that also. All of that plays a part in it, because if it's a blessing, then it's a blessing. If it's a yes, it's a yes. If it's a no, it's a no. And all of that is a blessing if God is the source. So praises, and I'm in agreement. Somebody told me that's in the Bible. Praises go up, blessings come down. I'm still looking for it, and I'm going through reading the Bible in its entirety for the second time. So I'm still looking for that, even that principle.
I think it's something that we say to make these people feel good, but we really have to look at if that is true, which I'm sure that there is a principle or somewhere we can make that true. If that is true, then what we're looking at as a blessing may not be what God is sending down as a blessing. So I really think we need to understand, like we've been saying, what is a blessing, and you know, where the blessing is coming from, and then how do we treat that blessing?
And I think we've answered the question of where do blessings come from. Blessings come from God. That's it. I think we've talked about that, where we really have a good understanding of the source of all. And it is not in the Bible. It is not a scripture. It's actually a Yiddish proverb. So that's a language that is a certain language by the Jews that were in Europe, Jewish immigrants, and it has a little bit of the Hebrew alphabet in it. So in all actuality, you know, a lot of times it's just amazing that we're talking about things in the church that we have no idea where they came from. And there's nothing wrong with a proverb that is not from the book of Proverbs in the Bible, but we can't treat it as if it's going to work and have the same power as the Bible. It just doesn't work like that. So one of the things that I think is really, really key is that we know that we have to be able to communicate the realism, and that's what we're talking about today, being true and honest as we continue to go forth in 2013, being true and honest about possessions, resources, and finances, and letting people know you can't just pray about something and think God is going to provide it. I mean, let's be honest, y'all. If it was as simple as praises go up and blessings come down, there are churches that are filled with millions of people across this country every Sunday, whether it's Sunday evening, Sunday night, sometimes on Saturday, throughout the week, millions of people are in churches and religious organizations. So if it really was just about us praising God and then those blessings being showered down, then why are so many people going through some of the situations that they're going through? Mm-hmm. And God is not going to provide something to you, provide something to me that I'm not ready to deal with. He will allow it. He will allow his permissive will if we continue to go just like the children of Israel. We want a king. We want a king. We want a king. What did God say? I got judges for y'all. Y'all good. Let them have their kings over there. I got judges for you. This is what I want for you. And eventually, what did God do? He gave him a king. Well, that didn't work out too well in a whole bunch of different situations. So we have to be careful about just constantly asking God for certain things. And then also we have to be respectful of the process. A lot of times people are asking for blessings. They're looking for God to get them out of situations. And trust me, I'm like anybody else. If I get in a situation, I want to hurry up and get out of it. But sometimes we need to be true and honest with people, especially as ministers and men and women of God, to say, okay, tell me what's really going on, because sometimes we are being used as resources to help people through situations that takes a process to get out of. And if we help people hurry up and get out of certain situations, especially when we don't have all of the background, all of the knowledge about what's going on, how that person got into that situation, it can actually be more detrimental because that individual didn't learn the lesson that God would have them to learn. And that goes back to what you said, Adir. Sometimes that curse is a blessing, or Brother Feaston, one of you said it. Sometimes that curse is actually a blessing because God may be trying to get our attention and say, hey, you can't do this again. You can't go down this road again. So I'm grateful that we had so many people. We have one more caller on the line, and I think this is going to take us out for the evening. Caller, last four of 0097, did you have something you wanted to say as we go ahead and close out the show this evening?
I just wanted to read an email that I received from one of my friends. It goes, Reverend Dunlap, I just want to share the presence of God's grace and mercy in my life. On Saturday, I walked to the mailbox to retrieve my mail for the week. That's the norm for me because I don't receive bills through the mail because I pay my bills electronically, and anything else I consider it junk mail. On this particular day, there was mail from my bank. I'm thinking this was just a letter informing me of the changes with the bank for 2013. So I figured I would go through the mail later and decide what to keep and what to shred. I proceeded to do my Saturday chores, washing, cleaning the house, etc. I didn't get around to opening the mail until Sunday night. I picked up the letter from Regions Bank and was about to shred it, but the Holy Spirit said, open the letter. I opened the letter, and there was a check for $321 attached to a letter explaining an error in charges made to my account. Now, $321 may not be much to a lot of people, but when you are single and struggling, it's like hitting a lottery. I must have read that letter two or three times until I finally said, all right, it's real. I stopped what I was doing, sat down on the sofa, and cried like a baby because I knew that the Lord knew my struggles and he blessed me accordingly. I sat there for about 20 minutes just thanking him for his grace and mercy and for doing just what he says he will do in Philippians 4:19, and that is to supply our every need. No one knows your struggles unless you tell them. A person will look at me and think I got it all together, never realizing that I may be struggling. I trust in God, and my faith in him is constant. I believe that if he brings me to it, he surely will bring me through it. Peace and blessings.
Wow. What do you say behind that, Sister Sanders, Brother Feaster?
I call those God moments. Experienced that in 2012 on several occasions. And I think what the sister said in that email, you know, people look at you on the outside. And sometimes people, you know, that's all they see is the outside. They don't always know what you're going through. But those are those moments where I call them God moments, because God is able, he will meet that need for you. And in that need, not only is it a need that was met, but now it's a blessing. And I just find that to be so amazing and so tremendous, to know that just when we think, you know, that what we're going through is going to last forever, God will give us a sign, whether it be a check in the mail, whether it be a phone call, whether it be an email, to let us know that he's still there for us. And that he will never leave us nor forsake us.
Well, Brother Feaster, we're going to go ahead and wind the show down. We have had so many comments, and I'm just truly believing that those who have been listening have been blessed by what has transpired this evening. So, Brother Feaster, we'll go start off with you. Do you have any closing comments for us for this evening?
Well, I want to say, again, thank you for the invite, and I also want to say Happy New Year to everyone and to you yourself. My closing comments are really going to be simple. I really think that we've established one very vital thing that we've established over and over again. Education is the key. For us to understand, for us to say that we have a blessing, then we have to understand what a blessing is. I think understanding and knowing, the Bible says in Proverbs, and all you'll get and get an understanding. It is our responsibility to get the understanding. This is the era of the information age, and we still have people walking around not knowing what we would consider simple things. So blessing, I'm really going to look over this and look over my notes from tonight. A blessing has really turned out to be something spiritual. It's come out to be something timely. It lasts over time. You know, you can get a blessing and a loss, and the source is from God. I've learned a lot about blessings. So I say this, have a very blessed new year to everyone out there.
Thank you, my brother. Happy New Year to you. You almost sound like you couldn't even get that word blessed out, huh?
I'm trying not to laugh.
Sister Sanders, did you have any closing comments for the listeners this evening?
I do. I just wanted to encourage everyone just to continue to know that God is the source for everything. And even in the no, God is not telling you no because he doesn't love you. He's telling you no because there's something else that we may need to do. And that no, there may be something better that he has for us down the line. And even in that, while we're waiting on whatever it is that God has for us, we need to just keep praising him and keep praying. Because as we're praying, we're asking God for what it is that we either want or need. And in our praising, that's our response for what we're believing God to do in our lives. And so I just want to encourage everybody just to keep believing and trusting in God, because his blessings are yea and amen. God, every morning that we wake up, every time that we breathe in and breathe out, that is a blessing from God. And I just want to just really encourage people just to continue to press forward, to stay in your word, to continue to pray without ceasing, and to keep trusting God, because even sometimes when we're not faithful, God is going to be faithful to us all of the time. And even in our difficulties, there's a blessing for us. We just got to continue to stay in God and continue to stay in his word and keep our prayer lives in God. And he's going to reveal to us in the due time those things that we have need of. Thank you so much, Brother Nate, just for having me as a guest on this show. It's been a blessing to me. And I definitely hope that it's been a blessing to others, because I've learned so much.
Well, thank you so much. And let me just leave us with one scripture as before I conclude with my last comments. Brother Parks, he's been on the show on the several other shows that I've co-hosted with and actually hosted on Freedom Radio. And one thing that he gave us, which I think is just timely as we go ahead and conclude, is from Proverbs 10, verse 22. He says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." So I think that is so timely. I think it's so relevant to what we're talking about today. I know from being one who teaches in this area, come in a couple of weeks when the tax returns don't come in as fast as some people want them to come in, when the bills start coming through from what individuals have put on credit from the Christmas holidays, people are going to need what we're talking about, y'all. People are going to need to be able to come to some place and say, hey, I need some help. So what we're trying to do is trying to create an atmosphere where we can be proactive, because we know what happens. We know what happens, and we see what's going on. And if we don't create the atmosphere and allow some wait for somebody else to do it, then I say shame on us. So let us just continue to do what we're doing. And I just want to let everybody know, we want everybody to do two things. First is to visit our Facebook page if you have not done so already. The Facebook page is possessions.resources.finances. And we ask that you like our page. And as well, we're constantly posting things on the Facebook page. So we want everybody to engage in the conversation either before the show or after the show. That would mean a lot to us. And also, we want everybody to continue to have dialogue with us on the air. We had a lot of conversation, a lot of guests that listened in and also made comments. So we want everybody to continue to do this. There is freedom in being able to ask questions. There's freedom in being able to reply to other people's comments and even make suggestions. So we're giving everybody that opportunity just to have that type of freedom on the PRF table. The other thing is, we want to let everybody know that all of our shows are archived. So as soon as we close off the air, every show, whether it's the PRF table, Chat and Chew with Shelley Caldwell, which is Wednesday, every Wednesday from 12 to 2, or Freedom Radio with Kimberly Skeen, which is where I still co-host on every other Tuesday except for the first Tuesday of the month at 8:30. You can go to Blog Talk Radio, which the website is blogtalkradio.com/we-speak-radio, and look for the PRF table or possessions.resources.finances or any of the shows under the We Speak Association Network. And you can go back and listen to any of the shows over the Internet. And for our iTunes listeners, just do a search for We Speak Association, and you'll be able to find our shows and all the others for the PRF table. Just look for PRF. We enjoy doing what we're doing. We hope that it's truly been a blessing to you. So I want to thank you, Sister Sanders. I want to thank you, Brother Feaster, as well as the listeners who called in with us. Join us on our next show, which will actually be on January 17th. And I'm praying to God how he would lead me and what we need to discuss on the next show. I think as of right now, it really would be good for us to talk about the purpose of blessings and also the motive behind blessings. And let me just tell you where I'm going with that. I've heard a lot in church. I've heard pastors say it over the last couple of weeks particularly, that they're looking for their members to be blessed, but in the same breath, they're also looking for the members to bless the church. So that talks to me about the motive. So if the members get blessed, then the church will be blessed. But it goes a lot deeper than that, and I think it's worth exploring because it's not about the members to be blessed so they can give more to the church. That's not what it's about. This is about kingdom work. This is about ministry. That particular church may not be doing anything for the kingdom of God. They just may be keeping the doors open and paying the pastor's salary or the staff member's salary. So I think it's worth talking about motive because you have individuals that are not looking to continue to give to the church. So we need to talk about it so individuals can be free from that, ask the necessary questions that they need to ask, and let God guide them in what they should do. And also in regards to the purpose of blessings, you know, if God blesses you with a job like he has with me and Brother Feaster and Sister Sanders, there's a purpose behind it. If he blesses you with stuff, you know, we're talking about possessions now, there's a purpose behind why he blessed you with those things. If he blessed you with money, credit, a retirement check, a 401k that looks really, really good, cash bonuses at the end of the year, there's purposes behind it. Not because you did well on your job that year, which is why you're getting the bonus, is because he provided that blessing and there's a reason why he provided it to you and something that you need to do with it. So we should all see God for what is the purpose behind what we have and why we have it. So with that, we welcome you to come back and join with us January 17th, and we will see you next time. Until then, have a blessed day. God bless you.